Hello, I'm Cody Waite with Waite Endurance and Session 6 Sport Performance, and you're listening to an audio recording where I'm going to discuss, kind of go through some of the finer points of our race prep taper and kind of finding form for your A race in the final weeks before your A race in your training program. So those that are tuning in here are likely have followed one or more of our training programs, whether it be the base builder and or our race prep phase of training. I wanted to run through those real quickly to explain what they are and kind of see, put you in your place of where you are now, possibly at the end of that race prep and ready, you know, 2 weeks or so away from your A race, and kind of how you go through those final few weeks of, you know, reducing some of the fatigue you've likely accumulated training and increasing freshness and kind of race readiness for a peak performance. So we'll start with base builder. Base builder is like the first phase of our training. You know, base training is often the first phase of just about any endurance program. And generally speaking, this can be anywhere from 3 to 6 months long worth of training, depending on the athlete, how much time you have available, your experience level, those sorts of attributes. So the main focus of base training, or what we focus on in our base builder training programs, is building up, one, aerobic fitness, and also developing some strength in the gym. So throughout these 3 to 6 month long kind of training programs, training plans, you're starting at a relatively low fitness level coming off of, well, possibly coming off the couch, I suppose, if you haven't been training much, when you're kind of start your program. This is for North American athletes, typically kind of like fall time. Or if you are, you know, a consistent seasonal racer, you know, maybe you're coming off of your past A race a few weeks ago, taking a little bit of a break, again, detraining, losing some fitness, and starting your base builder again at a relative low point to you within your overall annual plan. And then throughout those 3 to 6 months of base training, base builder training, you are building fitness essentially. So through various aspects of aerobic training, interval training, strength training, all these things are, you know, you're gradually adding more training load and ideally adapting to that load and building fitness as you go. If you're into like the charts and the numbers, you know, your CTL, your chronic training load, in the Training Peaks Performance Manager chart will steadily rise, you know, maybe fall slightly every 3-4 weeks during a recovery period, perhaps, or you know, a little week or so of recovery. Maybe it dips a little bit, but then it kind of stair steps back up, continues to rise over those 3 to 6 months. Then the second phase of training is often referred to as that build phase. I like to call it the race prep phase. What's happening here is you are transitioning from your base phase, or the base builder program, which is more general fitness training with the general components, and getting more race specific. You're preparing to race through your training. So that's why I like to call it race prep. This duration of time is typically 6 to 12 weeks, depending again on the athlete, also depending heavily on what kind of event you're training for. Generally speaking, if you're training for shorter duration races, so we're talking like maybe cross-country mountain bike races of around 90 minutes, or events shorter than that, maybe like a criterium race or series of races, you know, short track mountain biking, cyclocross, things of that nature, things that are, let's say, under 2 hours, is generally a little bit shorter requirement of that race prep. You know, often you can get a really good build there in the race prep in about 6 weeks. If you, as your events get longer, you're going to likely want to spend more time in that race prep phase to kind of build even more endurance that's required for your event. So an event, you know, kind of an ultra distance type of thing, like a Leadville 100 or Dirty Kanza or something that's, you know, 7 hours plus, you'll probably want to spend upwards of like 10 or even 12 weeks of building that race endurance, because endurance becomes a big piece of the puzzle for those longer races. So you just need more time to build that up. But in a nutshell, and not to get too far off the track here, is, you know, in race prep, you're starting to build now specific fitness for your event. And then generally speaking, you transition to more of a strength maintenance phase. And I spoke briefly about that in a previous recording. You can find it on our blog at endurance.session6.com about our strength maintenance protocol that we like to follow throughout the training year, throughout the competitive season with our strength training. But again, not to get too far off track. So race prep. So basically you start with your base training, what we call our base builder program, building up for quite a few months, building up fitness, CTL, you know, making that nice, that blue line rise nice and steady throughout the, generally speaking, the fall and winter months. And then at some point you transition to your race prep phase where you get a lot more specific. So the training you're doing is, you know, looking a lot more like what you're going to experience on race day, whether that be, you know, aerobic fitness being the emphasis for longer events or more of that, you know, sustainable power for shorter events or even like anaerobic power for real explosive events. But the main key is things get more specific. Now, what happens to your chronic training load, that CTL, often in race prep is it starts to actually sort of flatten out. So no longer are you necessarily gaining fitness, so to speak, although you're gaining more race-specific fitness, your training load starts to sort of level out oftentimes. And in some cases, it can even kind of start dropping down a little bit because particularly for shorter duration athletes that are training for shorter races, you know, TSS, you know, the score you get in your workouts, if you're using power or heart rate to kind of calculate CTL and whatnot, actually the training load, that's what TSS is sort of relating to, is the volume you're putting in times the intensity that you're putting in to come up with the training load. That can often decrease because as intensity goes up, if you're training for a high intensity event, volume in general has to kind of come down. It's sort of a give and take scale there. So if intensity needs to go up to prepare you for an high intensity racing, volume needs to come down a little bit. When that volume comes down, volume tends to have the biggest impact on your TSS, your training stress scores, and your CTL numbers and everything. So that's why quite often, even though you are technically, in my opinion, still gaining fitness, specifically race-specific fitness, those lines on the charts and graphs can often kind of level out or even decline slightly. Nothing to really get too worried about, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast there. Now, those people training for those longer, you know, like I said, ultra and distance events like Leadville, for example, where you need to continue to build that aerobic endurance and you're still going to get plenty of long rides throughout your race prep, it's quite possible your CTL or your training load continues to grow some, and even comes to kind of a peak near the end of your race prep. So that's a little, some, you know, minor nuances or differences between, you know, a shorter distance power-based athlete versus an endurance-focused, you know, endurance, so to speak, athlete. I mean, we're all endurance athletes, but, you know, someone training for criteriums or cyclocross races is a lot more power-based rather than even cross-country mountain biking compared to someone going for the long haul at Leadville or Dirty Kanza or, you know, 100-mile road races and fondos and things like that. It's more about, like, that steady power. Anyway, that's kind of what's going on there as far as building that fitness. So when you come to the end of the race prep phase and you've built your specific fitness, you've, you know, you're feeling really fit, possibly a little tired, and now you're about 2 weeks, give or take, away from your A race, whatever that A race may be. So it's those final two weeks, basically, that I want to discuss here and how to handle that and the purpose of it and kind of how to do it, or at least how we prescribe people to do that. Okay, so that those final 2 weeks is that finding form, taper, peaking kind of window. And it can be a little confusing or troublesome for a lot of athletes because it's, you know, it's time to kind of take a step back from the consistent heavy training you might have become accustomed to. You have to let yourself rest, repair, and kind of sharpen up and get ready for race day and hopefully a peak performance on that day. So some things to kind of paint a better picture here regarding that race taper and what it looks like. Generally speaking, in the base builder phase and the race prep phase, I like to focus or have athletes focus on specific energy systems within the training block that they're in, meaning you spend 2, 3, sometimes 4 weeks at a time focusing on specific energy systems, whatever that may be, VO2 max or anaerobic threshold or aerobic threshold, anaerobic power. You know, there's all these level kind of different energy systems, power outputs related to those energy systems if you train with power. And by focusing on one, occasionally two, but usually one energy system at a time per training block allows, in my opinion, the best adaptation in the sense that you can, number one, you can repeat the workouts usually 2, 3, 4 times, upwards of even sometimes 6 times per block. So you get more familiar with the workout, the demands of the workout, and you can actually see and feel yourself adapting to those workouts. If you compare the fourth time doing a workout to the first time you did it, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, likely it's at least become to feel a little easier, or at least more manageable compared to the first time you did it when maybe it felt really difficult and it was a super challenge. And that sort of block training where you're focusing on one energy system at a time, I think works really well for that base builder build and then also race prep, you know, building that race-specific fitness. In the race taper, when we're kind of finding form, we're going to lower the overall training load, but we want to maintain intensity, and we also want to address, at least touch briefly, on all of those energy systems. Because in general, when we're racing, even the most steady state race, like a time trial, for example, there's still times where you're hitting higher energy systems, and even times when you're hitting a little lower energy systems than maybe that anaerobic threshold that you're targeting. You know, at the start, for example, you know, you almost always go well above, you know, your pace in terms of power, you know, the power output. Oftentimes around corners, it'll, you know, you'll accelerate out of corners and punch above that target power into a higher energy system. Likewise, maybe on a downhill, possibly you might end up backing off slightly and dipping below that target that you were looking for. Ideally not, but it does happen. And it can be strategic if it's a downhill going then into like a steep uphill that you know you're going to have to go above. You might as well go a little below. Those are all different kind of pacing strategies. But in general, what I'm getting at is when we race, we're rarely, if ever, are you targeting, you know, staying in one specific energy system. Therefore, those final few weeks going into a race, I think it's extremely helpful to hit or touch on every energy system, every power output a little bit over the course of individual workouts to kind of just fine tune things, remind your body what, you know, those higher output levels are like, particularly if you've been doing a lot of steady state stuff, preparing for a more of a steady event, you know, and you haven't done any anaerobic power work in several weeks. You know, touching a little bit, doing a few short intervals, touching on some anaerobic power kind of wakes those muscles up in my mind and kind of reminds us what that feels like. And then it's a little bit more race ready come race day to do that. So to recap, instead of just focusing on one specific energy system per block, we'll go to hitting more or less every energy system, or certainly every high intensity energy system, within each training session, each one of those kind of tapering, peaking training sessions within that final 2-week taper. So that's one of the big differences. So also in a nutshell, it's like we're maintaining some intensity here. We're still hitting some very high intensity power outputs and getting that heart rate high for brief periods, you know, working hard, maintaining intensity while simultaneously dropping that volume. That overall training volume. So that's probably, I may have actually gotten ahead of myself a little bit. You know, dropping volume is probably the most important piece of that final taper. You know, if you're used to training, let's say 12 to 15 hours a week, It's going to drop down to, you know, maybe 9 or 10 hours the, you know, a week before, and drop down as low as, you know, 6, 7, maybe 8 hours the week of the race, training wise. So we want to reduce volume, and we want to maintain that intensity and make sure we kind of touch on each of those energy systems within the race prep tapering workouts. So the overall goal, I likely got ahead of myself here a little bit, but the overall goal of tapering and peaking for an event is I laid it out in the beginning where you've built all this fitness for many months. Along with fitness comes fatigue, because training makes you tired, but it also creates fitness, makes you more fit. So you have both of those things that you're kind of dealing with. Now, while you're training, while you're building up, it is possible to have a pretty good race, or even a great race, while you're a little bit fatigued. But to really truly have a peak performance and race to your highest possible ability, you have to kind of reduce that fatigue somewhat, bring in some freshness, so you're really mentally fresh, physically fresh, you know, your muscles are firing the way they're supposed to, you know, your physiology is talking to itself, your cells are working properly inside your body, and everything's functioning at its like highest, most alert, most ready state of action for a true peak performance. So the trick becomes, you know, you've built all this fitness, how do we maintain or minimize the loss of fitness as we introduce more recovery and more freshness into those final couple of weeks? Because in order to bring in that freshness, you have to back off somewhat, lower the volume, to allow more recovery time, to bring in that freshness and race readiness. But in doing so, you ultimately end up losing a little bit of, quote, fitness, okay? So the trick here is to minimize the loss in fitness while adding in that freshness. And that's how you do that. You lower the volume a little bit each week. And then by maintaining that intensity and hitting all those energy systems within the workouts, you can minimize the loss in fitness, because you're still firing all your muscles, all your energy systems, keeping kind of the engine primed, so to speak. And that will help minimize any loss in fitness, but also these workouts become short enough that they aren't contributing to any additional fatigue. So you actually, even though they still can be fairly challenging workouts, you're the end of the day and the next day, you're actually feeling most likely better than you did at the start of the previous workout. That's a good sign that you're looking for, that you're, you know, tapering and coming to kind of a peak and ready for a peak performance. So all those things, I'll put some kind of numbers and ideas to it for you, so maybe it makes even better sense. So from the volume side of things, what we recommend is, you know, dropping things the first week. So you've likely built up to kind of a relatively big week, especially if you're training for a longer distance event, and, you know, 3-4 weeks out. Now it's time to cut things back. So the first week, we like to see people drop about 30 to 40% total volume in that first week. So with a 13 to 15 hour training week, which is a substantial training amount per week, drops down to about 9 to 10 hours in that first kind of tapering week. Then the second tapering week, which is often the race week, you're going to drop it by about 50 to 60%. So that 13 to 15 hour week maybe drops down to around 7 hours a week. And that's not including your actual event. Okay. So that's, if your event's on Saturday, that's like the Monday through Friday time, you know, 6 or 7 hours of training, and then you have your actual event, however many hours that is. If you're a TSS person, you know, you're talking about maybe your normal week at 13 to 15 hours is probably somewhere around 700 TSS, give or take, 700, maybe even 800. That might drop that first week down 30 to 40% down to about a 500 TSS week. And then again, race week, not including your race event, might drop it down to 300, 350 TSS comparatively. So you gradually lower that volume. So it's not like you just take the, you know, total rest, because then you'd lose too much fitness, but you'd also become really like lethargic and stale and flat feeling. So you have to keep training, but a little bit less each week as you do so to kind of maintain the suppleness, so to speak, in your muscles and your body. On the intensity side of things, is a little bit different. So going back to like our energy system training zone model, which is what we prescribe to, rather than training a percentage of a FTP number or whatever, we like to identify our training zones based off of energy systems and what kind of power ranges we're looking for that you are required to hit those energy systems. In a typical workout, like let's say in our race prep build, and let's say we're targeting our anaerobic threshold energy system. So what we call that, there's kind of a high and a low. The high power, low duration is our 32-minute power. So if you were going to go as hard as you could for 32 minutes, that average power is your 32-minute power, and that's kind of like the top end of your anaerobic threshold, okay? On the low end, it's about an hour, about 64 minutes, twice the 32 minutes. Again, if you were to do a 64-minute time trial, what would that average power be? That's the low end of your anaerobic threshold. Now, for people that are familiar with FTP and like to use that, somewhere in that between 32-minute and 64-minute power is likely to be your FTP number. So we're training right around that, plus or minus. In training, when we're targeting that high-end anaerobic threshold, so our 32-minute power, the typical way I like to prescribe workouts is breaking that into four intervals of 8 minutes, four times eight is 32 minutes, at that 32-minute maximum power. So let's just say 32-minute maximum power is 340 watts. You're going to do 4 times 8 minutes at 340 watts. You're going to have a few to maybe several minutes of recovery, depending on the person, kind of riding back down the hill perhaps, or pedaling easy on your trainer before you do your second one. So 4 times 8 at 32-minute power, you accumulate 32 minutes of work at your 32-minute power. That's how we like to kind of structure our intervals. In our taper weeks now, we'll still do some intervals when we target our 32-minute power, but instead of 8-minute long intervals, which are relatively stressful, especially when you're doing upwards of four of them, we're going to do maybe 4 minutes at our 32-minute power. So instead of training in like one quarter increments in the 4x8 example, like in our main training block, we're going to drop it down to about 1/8 of the power duration of the specific energy system. So 1/8 of 32 minutes is 4 minutes. So you do up, you know, depending on where you are in your taper, the most I would ever have anyone do is 4x4 minutes at 32-minute power. And then as you get closer to your event, it's going to be more likely, you know, maybe three intervals, two intervals, and the day before, like one interval of 4 minutes at 32-minute power. So in our training plans, if you're following that, it'll say peak workout 1/8. That's what that 1/8 is referring to, is we're targeting 1/8 of the duration of the energy system that you would normally train for these peaking kind of workouts. So we're maintaining intensity. We're still hitting our 32-minute power, but we're lowering the overall volume spent at our 32-minute power in that energy system. And then also the individual durations of the intervals get quite a bit lower than what you're accustomed to when you were training a few weeks ago, those specific energy systems. Okay, so that's how we kind of structure it. It's targeting 1/8 of the duration of the energy system. Now, like I said before, we want to hit each of those high intensity energy systems. So for us, high intensity energy system is anaerobic threshold going upwards, anaerobic threshold. So that's that 32 to 64 minute power. The next one up is VO2 max, which is the 8 to about 16 minute power. So if you were to do a time trial in those durations, maximum power that or average power, that would be your high and low ranges of VO2 max energy system. The one above that's anaerobic power. So now we're talking about 1 to 4 minute max power, which is starting to get pretty high. And then the last one is we call peak power, which is basically just sprinting. So less than 30 seconds anywhere from like your 5 second power to as high as perhaps 30 second power is your peak power. So those four energy systems are the ones that we target as our high intensity energy systems. Below those, you start getting into more aerobic natures, but your warm up and your warm down in these workouts will kind of take care of that. That's not what we're mainly looking at, the high intensity side here. So we're going to go through each one of those four energy systems, targeting 1/8 of the duration related to the power required in those energy systems. So a workout, if you're still with me here, and I'm saying it clearly enough that you can follow along, the workout might be, let's say, 3 sets of 4 by 4 minutes at 32 minute power. So it's 1/8 of the 32 minutes. Three by 4 minutes at 32 minute power, then recover a little bit. Then you're going to go 4 by 2 minutes at 1/8, which would be of your 16 minute power. Okay. So this, kind of the low end of VO2, then you're going to go 3 by 1 minute at your 8 minute power. So that's kind of like the top end of your VO2. Then 3 times 30 seconds, at your 4 minute power. So that's your, kind of the low end of your anaerobic power. And then 3 by maybe 15 seconds of your 1 minute power. So kind of the high end of your anaerobic power. And then you'll finish it off with maybe 3, you know, sprints, to kind of hit the top end there. So that would be kind of how we hit the, each energy system at low enough durations. You're getting you're maintaining the power output, but you're reducing the duration, low enough duration that's not overly fatiguing, and instead you're actually kind of sharpening and polishing the power outputs, your ability, your muscles, waking them up, priming them for that peak performance. Okay? So I hope that kind of makes sense, and I said it clearly enough that it makes sense. But that's the workout structure for those peak workouts. So generally speaking, over the course of the 2-week taper, we'll do 2 workouts per week. The further away out you are from your event, you're going to do more of those intervals. So the most you'd ever do, ever prescribe someone, is 4 sets of each of those energy systems I just described. So like 4 by 4 minutes, 4 by 2 minutes, 4 by 1 minute, etc. Down the hitting each energy system. Then, and that likely occurs often like kind of midweek of the first tapering week. Then maybe by the weekend, you're doing maybe 3 sets of those. So again, you're tapering. So you're decreasing the total workload from the first workout, which was maybe 4 sets. Now it's 3 sets. Then the middle of the race week, Tuesday or Wednesday, let's say, you're going to reduce it again to just 2 sets of, 4, 2 by 4, 2 by 2, 2 by 1 at those energy system power outputs. And then the final peak workout comes the day before the event, and you're just going to do 1 times through each of those. Okay. And that workout, as a side note, is something that I do as a race prep workout, kind of an opener style workout, before any B race or A race. But any B race within the build, race prep build training program, the way I like to do that is the day, 2 days before a race, take it either off or really, really easy recovery ride. And then the day before, do that 1 times 4 minute, 2 minute, 1 minute, 30 second, 15 second sprint, as like a way to rev the engine, prime the pump, and, kind of open things up for race day. That's my preferred kind of opener workout. So that becomes that fourth and final, kind of peaking tapering workout going into your A race. Okay. That's how it all kind of lays into place. So again, to recap, if we're looking at a 2-week, you've likely, let's say 3 weeks out from your race, kind of finish that weekend, that week and weekend with your final big workouts, possibly even like a lower priority race could occur on that weekend. And then you're going to recover a couple of days in the first part of the week. Then you're going to do that first tapering peak workout that could be as much as 4 times each energy system, or maybe 3 times each energy system, depending on the person. Then again, you're going to recover for a couple of days with just some active recovery workouts, maybe a rest day, depending on the person. And then by the weekend, you're ready to hit those energy systems again, reducing it by 1 round from what you did in the first part of the week. So if you did 4 by each one in the first part of the week, middle part, you're going to do 3 by on the weekend. 3 times 4, 3 times 2, 3 times 1, etc. If you started with the 3 by, then it's going to be 2 by come the weekend. The weekend before, you can also substitute your tapering workout for a short duration race if desired. If you're training for a criterium or a cross country mountain bike race or something, and there's something similar that's not going to be too much of a overload, you could certainly consider doing that as like a tune-up race. I prefer that personally, but some people like to not race the weekend before and kind of save their motivation and focus for the main race the next weekend. That's up to you, but you can always substitute a race for those workouts. Regardless, they're going to be, solid workouts or a race. Then you're going to recover kind of into the early part again of the next week, some active recovery. And then again, midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, usually, you're going to hit the second to last tapering workout. So usually at this point, that's a 2x4 minute, 2x2 minute, 2x1 minute, 2x30 second, 2x15 second, and 2x sprint. Again, recover, maybe take a rest day 2 days out from your A race. And then that final, if your A race is Saturday, that Friday is your final openers tapering workout, which is one interval of the 4-2-1-30-15 sprint. And, the overall volume has been gradually reducing. You've maintained intensity, but the overall volume of the intensity has also come down a little bit. All of that combines to bring in some freshness, and you should be feeling like better and better as the days kind of tick by, and bringing in that race readiness while maintaining and even kind of sharpening your fitness overall for the A race. So I hope that all kind of makes sense. I never know when I'm blabbing on here if people are able to make sense of what I'm saying and keep up with what I'm saying. Hopefully so. If you're a little confused or if you have any kind of questions, feel free to send me an email. I love hearing from you guys, cody@session6.com. happy to answer those. But the main takeaway here I'll leave you with is, once you've built all your base fitness, your race preparation fitness over many weeks, many months, you've got a high level of fitness, but you've also got a high level of fatigue. So it's critical to hit a peak performance. You've got to start resting, recovering, reducing your overall training load, your training volume, number one. And then the other piece of the load is reducing gradually the intensity, but maintaining some of that high intensity work still in there. And the whole kind of interval sets I just described is our preferred way to do this. It's not the only way to do it, but it's our preferred way. I'm very much a technical prescription-based kind of coach and athlete, and I like the specific numbers and knowing I'm hitting those. And what's really great too is if you have power and you're hitting those numbers or those durations and you start to feel like these power outputs become easier and easier to hit and achieve, it really builds confidence in yourself for race day. But it's not the only way to do it. If you don't have power, you can definitely go by feel, RPE. And quite honestly, you can even go, really analog and just know like, okay, go hard for a few minutes. Maybe the durations I mentioned, if you don't have power, go moderately hard for 4 minutes, then go hard for 2 minutes, then go a little harder for 1 minute, and harder and harder, that will still do the trick. It may not be quite as like precise and technical, but not everyone needs or wants that. And it certainly doesn't mean more technical is better or achieves better results. You can go by feel and achieve very similar, if not the same, results as the technical side of things. But the takeaways is, you know, lower that volume. Don't be afraid to lower that volume. It can be hard to do, especially if you're a high volume trainer. Let that rest come in, but then keep those short, powerful intervals in there over the, you know, a couple times a week over the course of those 2 weeks, descending volume as you go. And more than likely, you'll arrive on race day feeling really fresh and ready to go, and muscles kind of firing on all cylinders and ready for a peak performance. So I hope this was useful for you. Like I said, send me questions if you've got them, but hopefully this will help you as you start your own taper towards the end of the season here, or end of summer approaches. A lot of you will be kind of gearing up for your A races in the coming weeks and maybe month or two. So we'll leave it at that. Look for more audio recordings to come on some other topics, and follow along on our blog online, or follow us on the socials on Instagram. Session 6 endurance on Instagram, and Session 6 powered by weight endurance on Facebook, and Session 6 endurance on Instagram or our socials. So good luck with your training. Keep it up, and you'll surely have a peak performance ahead.